I call to order the City Council business meeting for September 9th, 2025. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear?
Here.
Councilmember Roop?
Here.
Councilmember Williams?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I have a proclamation to read out for Constitution Week, and tonight we welcome several members of the Nathaniel Green chapter of the Daughters of American Revolution, the Daughters of the American Revolution, I'll get that right, the DAR. They are here, and they are the ones who request this proclamation every year, and we're quite happy to do this. Whereas the Constitution of the United States of America, the guardian of our liberties, embodies the principles of limited government in a republic dedicated to rule by law, and whereas September 17th, 2025 marks the 238th anniversary of the framing of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official recognition to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary, and to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate it, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17th through 23rd as Constitution Week. Now therefore, I, Paul Shoemaker, Mayor of the City of Simpsonville, do hereby proclaim September 17th through the 23rd, 2025 as Constitution Week in the City of Simpsonville. We ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals of the framers of the Constitution had in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us through this guardian of our liberties. And I will present this proclamation to the DAR. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Item 5, approval of the minutes for August 12th, 2025. Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions for the minutes? Hearing none, those minutes will stand approved as written. Item 6, citizen comments. And we begin with John Freeman. Mr. Freeman?
Council, I appreciate what you guys do. You know, for the beautiful city of Simpsonville, please continue the good work. We appreciate you. So I had a question, but Mayor,
you would okay. For the record, state your name.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. John Freeman, 106 Tollgate Court here in Simpsonville. Is that it? Okay. So I had a question, Mayor Shoemaker and Councilwoman Roche. You guys pretty much answered it, but I just want to reiterate: until that's done, until the transformational East Georgia Road out here is done, me and my neighbors, we need something done out here, because as you can see, these cars, they're rolling. And then a lot of times we come out and there's congestion either way. So let's face it, the city's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds. So until the transformation is done here, I'm just requesting that you guys look at getting us two police trackers or tickers, whatever you call them. We talked about that. Like to have one on both sides, coming into the town and going outside of town. So if you guys could do that for us, I don't know if you guys make that call, SCDOT, or you guys work in collaboration, but if you could help us, that would really help the city, you know, be more safer, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Freeman.
Sure.
Next is Kenneth Whitman.
I'm Kenneth Whitman, 305 Tollgate Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. I live in the Cedars. My concern is the same thing it was back in June, like John's, traffic problems. I would just like to reiterate what I said in June about the speed limit signs, the radar kind. There are three or four of them around the city, different places, that they're doing a good job. They need to stay there. But we could use maybe two out here, one down here and one down here, strategically located, to slow people down. Because radar and that thing flashing in your face, first thing a person does, put your foot on the brake. Because people come into town where it's 35 and they're doing 45, 50. They get down here where it's 25 and they're still doing 40, 45. Going out of town likewise, when they come out of that light and down there, that's just pedal to the metal and then away they go. And I hadn't had any kind of response or anything back from anyone concerning what I mentioned in June. And also, as a footnote, the acoustics in here, I don't know what's going on, but the fans and the HVAC out here sounds like Pentecost, a mighty rushing wind. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our citizen comments. Next up is 7, business. 7A, correction to the approved minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting, July 22nd, 2025. I was not at the last meeting where these minutes were approved, and in order to correct previously approved minutes, we need to put it on the agenda. Council, I move to amend the minutes of the July 22nd meeting by correcting the record for the motion under item 8A regarding the personnel matter. The record should read as follows. Motion by Mayor Shoemaker to place on the next business meeting agenda the appointment of the individual selected by City Administrator T. Coker as Finance Director to also serve as City Treasurer in accordance with city ordinances.
Second.
I have a motion from the mayor with a second from... Councilmember Pinkerton, any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. 7B, first reading of Ordinance O-2025-08, short-term rental ordinance. Mr. Derby.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. This is the short-term rental ordinance that will update our code of ordinance to allow for short-term rentals in the city. This was presented to you at the last Committee of the Whole. There's no corrections to this with the exception to the whereas for 30 days. Sorry. I did speak with our legal counsel regarding some clarifications. I'd like to go over some of those. They didn't do that with the last person. If I can get your attention to section 10-294, permit required. There's some legality questions in there, clarifications of what we're referencing to for the business license portion. It needs to reference to chapter 10, article 2. 10-295, number 3. Some clarity on how we're going to require proof of ownership. That needs to be more defined as proof of deed to help clarify what we're asking for. Another thing we spoke about trying to add in there is adding a requirement for the number of bedrooms that a person will be using to help determine the occupancy number on their application. Same section, number 11, the portion referring to a written exemplar agreement. I'm going to strike out the portion of exemplar, just have agreement. It's more of a layman's terms, what we're asking for. The next section, still with 10-295, number 11, just below that. The parking requirement standards in there, it talks about that this short-term rental will require parking as the regulations herein. There's no regulations in the code. We refer to that in the zoning ordinance. So a little bit of reference to the actual zoning ordinance will need to be put in there. Number D, it's going to clarify the Article 2 of where International Property Maintenance Code is regulated in our Code of Ordinances. The application fee and permit deadline has some, the way it's worded, it's just not very clear as when the effective date, when this occurs. That's been kind of clarified with a recommendation from legal counsel. The next section, 10297, the agent portion. As part of serving notice to the agent, it's being recommended that to have service upon short-term rental agents of any notice or summons from the city shall constitute service upon owner or record. And the last section, the appeals, it needs to mimic what state law requires. So there's more clarification in that. That was not presented to you at this time. What was presented to you is what went through committee of the whole. But these are things that need to be discussed as we move forward for the first reading. I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve first reading of Ordinance O-2025-08, Short-Term Rental Ordinance.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
Yeah, I listened to all the all that. It didn't cover the two things that I was concerned about in here. And first is 10295 A8. My concern there about the properties located in homeowners associations getting a written confirmation. I think that needs to read a written certification of the short-term rental agent, that for properties located in a neighborhood with an HOA, that the covenants and bylaws of the neighborhood permit permit short-term rentals. In other words, let the short-term rental agent go to City Hall, go online and find that out for themselves instead of trying to hunt somebody down. So I'm going to make a motion here in a second to change that. And then also section 10297E. And what I would like to see there is the owners may change their designation of a short-term rental agent temporarily or permanently. However, there will be always be one such agent for property at a given time, not one such agent and only one such, because there's too many scenarios where the owner and the one and only agent could be incapacitated, whether it be via travel, sickness, or whatever. I just think because I know there's other verbiage in here about those agents being known to the city, and as long as they're known to the city, then I think that should happen, because I just find too many scenarios where it'd be easy for two people not to be available. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to change section. So Mayor and Council, I'd like to make a motion on 020258, section 10295A8. To read a written certification of the short-term rental agent that for properties located in a neighborhood with an HOA, that the covenants and bylaws of the neighborhood permit short-term rentals, and also change section 10297E to the owner or owners may change their designation of a short-term rental agent temporarily or permanently. However, there shall always be one such agent for a property at a given time.
Here's a second. I have a motion from Councilmember O'Rear to make an amendment, or two amendments, and second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion? Hearing no discussion on the motion to amend, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries. That motion to amend carries by a vote of 7-0. Any further discussion on the main motion? On the motion to approve first reading of Ordinance O-2025-08, Short-Term Rental Ordinance, as amended, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 7C, first reading of TX-2025-02, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Council, this is the zoning ordinance section of the short-term rental. This allows us to define short-term rentals and what zoning districts this will go into. Your meeting packet is still the same from the committee. The whole does have the red text in there. That was recommendations from council. From Planning Commission. Nothing has changed since committee of the whole.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Williams.
Council Mayor, I move to approve the first reading of TX-2025-02, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance.
Second.
Motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
Just one item on this one, and I know Mr. Derby and I have spoken about this because I truly still don't understand why this is in there. So I'll just go ahead and make a motion, Mayor and Council. I make a motion to amend TX-2025-02, Section 3.2.44A5 to delete the second paragraph. I don't understand why someone has to have their driveway paved or their parking paved in order to have a short-term rental. There you go.
Point of order. Could you repeat your motion?
Motion is to amend TX-2025-02, Section 3.2.44A5. To eliminate the second paragraph.
Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember O'Rear with a second from Councilmember Roop to amend this item. Discussion? Councilmember Roche.
Mine's more of a question for Mr. Derby. What is the value in having it be paved? What was the thinking behind that we would want that to be that way?
The thinking behind that was more or less to protect the aesthetics of the properties, to try to prevent continuous travel and parking on surfaces that aren't supportive of cars. So you'd have grass, ruts, things like that. We didn't want to encourage that by allowing that throughout the city.
Would this also prevent on-street parking if they have multiple vehicles?
What do you mean by?
Well, if it's assigning spots and it has to be on a paved
correct
driveway.
Yes, ma'am.
Then I assume that would also cover, like, 8 people rent a place, or, you know, and they bring 5 cars. None of them, they can't be along the side of the road.
Correct.
Okay. So if we nullify that part, if we take that away, then we could potentially have cars in the street.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Root.
I was confused about this as well because I understand the eyesore of it, but the city actually pays for 2 parking lots right now that we rent that are dirt gravel parking lots that are downtown Simpsonville. Something that still has not been explained to me, and I've asked several times for that explanation. But I don't know how we can hold a civilian what they can do on their own private property and tell them they can't, while the city's actually paying funds to rent parking lots that are dirt gravel parking lots. So, yeah, I think this should be removed as well.
Councilmember O'Rear?
Just to clarify for Councilmember Roche, in Section 5, it says occupants shall only park on the driveway or other delineated areas for parking along the side or rear of the home. They're not allowed to park in the streets anyways.
Council, if I could follow up on that one and ask Mr. Derby, if do you have this in front of you, the specific paragraph? So Councilmember O'Rear has pointed out that the first paragraph specifies occupants shall only park on the driveway or other delineated areas It seems to me like that says you can't park on the lawn.
Right.
So I'm kind of with Councilmember O'Rear. I'm not sure why we need the additional wording. Any further discussion from council? So the motion is to amend TX 2025-02 miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance, paragraph 3.2.44A5, by eliminating the second paragraph in that section. All in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion to amend carries by a vote of 7-0. Any further discussion on the main motion as amended? All those in favor on approving first reading of TX-2025-02 miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance as amended signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 7D, first reading of Ordinance O-2025-09, appropriate funds from the sale of the Old City Hall property to a Stormwater Initiative Fund. Mr. Pinkerton, would you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you. First, I'd like to applaud Council for voting for this unanimously at the last meeting to push this ordinance through to establish a Stormwater Fund. This ordinance, along with an ordinance we passed last August, which amended Simpsonville's MS4 permit with Greenville County requiring that the design of stormwater management systems accommodate a 100-year storm event as opposed to a 25-year storm event. It goes a long way in addressing our stormwater issues in Simpsonville. I think this is an important ordinance to pass through and start funding this issue now and in the future. So I make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 0-2025-09.
Second.
Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Councilmember Root.
Administrator Coker, I know we've been going back and forth talking a lot about this recently. Thank you for your efforts, by the way, to get the study back that I requested last meeting from the study that was done from North and South Almond. I think it was, I read this email a week and a half ago. It was around $900,000 to fix those
together
culverts.
Is more like 1.1.
Okay.
That's the current estimate.
Okay. So these monies would almost cover that project, almost. Minus what we may, and that's my follow-up question, what could we potentially get from FEMA toward these or any other funds that you might want
to? Great question. Yes, sir. So we anticipate 75% from FEMA and with a 25% local match. However, we have biweekly meetings, and so four weeks ago, a representative from the state indicated that that there is an effort on a state level to cover the remaining 25%. So, but at this point, we're not sure. That's not a guarantee.
If those dollars were, if 25% does come in at the number, how much of that 1.1 million is? Would the city have to come up with as part of this 840?
It's like 275, something like that.
So we could actually fix that area plus others with this self city property. We could make a big dent. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Council? Councilmember O'Rear.
Yeah, it won't be long, I think. I think this is a great idea. I think beyond traffic stuff, the number two issue in the city of Simpsonville is stormwater, and this is a great place to start to have a separate fund for stormwater. We did sell a property, that's another story, but we do have money to start a fund that can, and like we talked about, you can't pick every job off tomorrow, but you can start picking them off as we go and show results for the people of Simpsonville. So I'll be happy to vote yes for this.
Councilmember Hutchings.
As I said in the last meeting, I think this is an excellent idea. This will be one more step in the direction of hoping to solve our stormwater problems over the time. I know this won't be the ultimate answer, but it will be another step in the right direction, and I appreciate this opportunity to do this.
Council? Okay, so I do have some, I'm totally in favor of creating this Stormwater Initiative Fund. I do have some concerns about the dollar amount. The 830 and change that is from the Old City Hall sale, plus another $250,000 that we budgeted for stormwater that's in our annual budget, puts us at $1.1 million in funding for stormwater initiatives. And that number that's a big number. That's 3.6% of our annual budget. It is close to 10% of our general fund as it stands right at the moment. I think taking a tenth of our general fund when there is a generally accepted standard that you should have 2 months on hand in your general fund for the operation of the city, which comes out to $3 to $4 million. And we know that we don't get tax revenues until January, February, sometimes even March. I know we got into March before we got those revenues turned over to us for the last fiscal year. So we know we draw our general fund balance right down on that generally accepted recommendation of having a couple of months of operating capital in our general fund. So I'm concerned about putting quite so much in the fund right at this moment. I guess what I'm saying is I would prefer that it's hard to back it out of a fund like this if we needed it for something else. If the economy turns around on us, or for some reason we have less revenues than we expected, it's hard to back up out of this fund. We budgeted $250,000 last year. We did not spend that money, and it rolled back into the general fund. So I think there's $250,000 there. We budgeted $250,000 for this year. I think it would be more appropriate to initially fund this at $500,000. That would cover the matching amounts for the North Almond and South Almond culverts. And we can kind of see where our revenue goes, and if later this year we think we need to pump up this fund a little bit more, I think we could then add to it as long as we see that revenues are going fine. Certainly could also do that as part of the budgeting process next year. The 250 is not a magic number. It's just a number that we choose. So if we want to add additional money at that time for the budget for the next fiscal year, I think that would be a good time to consider it. So, members of council, I move to change the funds to be appropriated to $500,000. Do I hear a second?
Yep.
Have a second from Councilmember Williams. Motion from Mayor Shoemaker with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your concern. I will say that we, at least based on the records I go back to, we do get revenue in the next few months. It certainly doesn't offset the amount that we spend. However, in the last few years, it's always drawn down to a very minimum in your December report. Then, of course, you're right, funds start rolling in heavily in January and February. But I am opposed to reducing the amount because we have an opportunity to use these funds to put to something to good use. And I'm afraid that if we lower it down, that we'll never get back up again. I'm not sure I share your concerns as much based on what I see in the revenue over the last few years. Last year, we spent quite a bit of money at the end of the year on cleanup, and we survived. It wasn't offset by anything except for funds what we might get from FEMA. And I understand that we're still owed, what, $1.3 million or so from FEMA at this point, as is. That could come in tomorrow. I don't know. So there are funds out there that we spent last year that we haven't received revenue on that we could before the end of this year. So I would prefer to keep it as my original motion.
Councilmember Root?
So does the $250,000, just so I understand, it's rolled over that we didn't spend last year, is that earmarked only for...
No, it just went back into the general fund.
Mm-hmm. So we don't necessarily have to approve those $225,000 to approve Councilmember Pinkerton's motion, correct? They're not tied to each other. This is spending the $840,000. It's not guaranteeing that we spend the $250,000 from last year this year, correct?
That's correct.
So we could keep that in the general fund, still pass this, which I'm for, and keeping the $250,000 in general fund to see where we stand maybe mid-year next year to see if we want to put that toward another project or if we need to use that for other funds. So those two are not tied to each other. Thank you.
I think that it's all one bucket of money. There's no tie to it. In fact, the way this item is titled, from the sale of Old City Hall, once we put it in the general fund, it's just general fund. It's just one bucket of money. So we're taking money out of the general fund to fund this. And it's a matter of, I'd just like for us to be a little careful. Maybe later in the year we can revisit this and if we want to add more money to it. I don't think that there's any crystal ball that says that things are going to keep rolling or that things won't keep rolling either way. I just think that my preference would be to err on the fiscally conservative side rather than viewing these proceeds from the city hall as some kind of found money. I would point out that at the time that we discussed the sale of city hall, the discussion was to take those dollars and roll them into the downtown revitalization project. And now we're not able to really do everything that we want to do in the downtown revitalization project, but we're going to take money that could have gone towards that and put it towards creating this fund. I'm not saying this is a bad idea. I'm just saying that this isn't just, oh, look, we found $840,000. This was something we've known about since 2021 and had other plans for. Plans change. Council can change the plans. I think that's fine. I'm not opposed to creating the fund. I think it should be a little less. So, Councilmember O'Rear.
I understand the sentiment, I sure do, but I also know this. If you don't have a stormwater initiative fund, then you don't guarantee the money for stormwater. We've watched from a federal level what the federal government does to Social Security. You know, it's close to insolvency after how many years, 80 years of people putting into it because they keep borrowing from it. And that's a way to ensure that we don't borrow from it is by putting it into the initiative fund now, specifically for stormwater purposes, because like I said earlier, that's the number two issue in the city, according to practically everybody. So I think we need to move this money in there and make sure that's what it goes for, and I think we need to do it the way Councilmember Pinkerton has asked for. Thanks.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
I have a question that I think is for the city administrator. Since the $250,000 that we had allocated wasn't spent and it rolled back into the general fund, if we don't spend this $836,658, will it also roll back into the general fund a year from now?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Are you asking
if we create
the fund,
the stormwater initiative fund, the money would just stay in there?
Correct.
Until it's spent on stormwater
Correct.
Initiative.
They would stay in there and earn interest.
Right.
But it wouldn't revert back to the general fund.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Council? So on the motion to amend the amount to $500,000, all those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes. All opposed signify by saying no.
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 That motion fails by a vote of one yes to six noes. So on the main motion, is there any further discussion? Councilmember Williams.
I just want to say, being in favor of putting the money into stormwater fund, because even with the amount of money that is needed for South Almond and on that side of town, there's a lot that needs to be done on our side of town too. And I think that that money is going to definitely come in use to help with a lot of the stormwater over the whole city.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
You're absolutely correct. The poinsettia, basically Ward 1 issues are there, but there are issues all over. And I didn't write this up or intend for it to be to that specific item. It's up to council to vote on these things. So the more we can put into it and do stormwater work and approve stormwater issues throughout the city is the goal here.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
I, too, am in favor of allocating this money, because we all know if we don't allocate it, it's going to get sucked into the general fund, and there will be something else that will demand that. And if we really want to address this issue as it needs to be addressed, we need to allocate fund, and we need to be proactive about getting that stormwater study started. We already know that when we do the traffic realignment right here on Curtis Street, there's going to be drainage issues that we have to address as part of that. We know what's coming. And I like the idea of allocating this.
Council? Administrator Coker, just a clarification on the $250,000 that's budgeted in this current fiscal year. That would not be part of this stormwater initiative fund. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we would have $800,000 and change in the initiative fund plus another $250,000.
Correct.
Okay. And if we don't spend that $250,000, then it would, at the end of the fiscal year, would roll over back into the general fund.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Hughes, I have questions regarding one part of this proposed ordinance that talks about on or off city right-of-way, and I'm concerned about, that's in Section 2, Item 3, I'm concerned about three things. First, the kind of you touch it, you own it aspect of the city undertaking work on private property. So on that first concern, can you discuss that as a legal, what the legal ramifications are of that for the city?
Sure. So the city is prohibited from using public tax dollars on private property, to expending it on private property. So we could not go on to someone else's property, use taxpayer dollars from the Stormwater Initiative Fund to make stormwater repairs.
So that piece of this ordinance really then needs to come out, is what I'm hearing you say. And that's not my only concern. So
either we could come out, or we could clarify the language to require an agreement with the property owner to allow the city, either through a easement or license agreement, to go onto the property. So if it's a permanent stormwater pipe, then we need an easement agreement. But if all we're doing is cleaning out a ditch for someone, then we could just be fine with just a license agreement with permission to go on the property.
But if we got an easement on that ditch, then we could.
That's
so
correct.
As long as we get an easement, then this would be okay.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. If the do we need to include easement wording in the ordinance itself?
I I think it wouldn't hurt because, you know, it does say approval by city council in the subparagraph, section 2, subparagraph 3, which does need to be approved by council, which indicates that council is going to have to say if they're going to spend money in right-of-way, owner-off, that they're going to have to approve it. But for clarity purposes, we do need to have a formal agreement. And so I would suggest that we clarify that with that language in subparagraph 3.
Okay. Council, I move that we amend the did you have further discussion before I make the motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, clarify, it is not an ordinance that city cannot go on private property. It's a policy, correct?
No, it's not
an ordinance, it's a policy.
Well, it's not an ordinance that the city has adopted, but from a legal standpoint, you cannot spend taxpayer dollars to improve private property.
That's period. You said that was state law.
I've always had a concern about this because whether storm water is on private property or not, it's attached to the city's stormwater facilities. So what you're saying is if it's on the owner's property, assuming it doesn't have an easement, then the owner could take the stormwater pipe out at his whim, and then your street system would not work. I've always been told that this was a policy. It's not, and policies aren't law. Okay. And I know, looking at some of the city maps, that some stormwater in people's yards do have easements, some may not. You just basically have to go to every tax map and try to figure that out. The reason why I put that in there, written that way, because it's a policy and we do have certain issues, and it could come up where the city could take the opportunity to fix stormwater problems. It might be on private property, but it affects the stormwater system that the city owns. So again, it's to me, kind of a weird catch-22 that if there was a stormwater pipe in my yard, actually I have a stormwater creek in my yard, and what you're saying is true, then I could dam up the creek. So it's, yeah, I'm going a little bit overboard there for you, Paul, but frankly, Mr. Mayor, the issue is a policy, and I don't see why it would be an issue to be able to fund taking care of the city's problems, if they are one.
So my understanding of, you know, having a culvert on your property or a creek running through your property, that you can change anything you want on your property, you know, as long as it's not covered by an easement or some other legal agreement. You can change anything you want as long as your changes don't change the flow of the water for your neighbors. So if you took out a culvert and you made things worse for your neighbors, or if you added a culvert and made things worse for your neighbors, you're going to be in violation of the law, is my understanding. So it's not quite as simple as saying, well, because somebody has a culvert that runs underneath their property, the city should take that on, and that would be fine for the city to take that on. I think that you could crush the city finances by taking on undocumented stormwater culverts that exist, particularly under poinsettia. Poinsettia has a lot of them because of the way that neighborhood was built, at least the older part of poinsettia. So I know that exists. But I also hear, I very clearly heard the city attorney saying that it is a matter of state law that we cannot make improvements on private property using tax dollars, unless we are doing something that we get an easement that covers us, that would then allow us to have that access to maintain those improvements or make, you know, changes to those things. So
that is my opinion.
Yes. So Councilmember Hutchings?
Mayor, is your amendment to eliminate that phrase whether located on or off city right of way?
No, I have not made an motion for an amendment at this point. We're still discussing.
If we did that, would that change the meaning of that sentence, because we still say it's deemed necessary and approved by city council?
I don't think we necessarily need to change it. I think we just need to make sure that we add wording that if we need to do something on private property, that we secure an agreement with the property owner and get an easement that protects us in that regard, rather than not having an agreement or something that protects us. Councilmember Roche?
I was going to ask, aren't all of our culverts and stormwater pipes in easements? I know the city has, I think it's a 10-foot right-of-way in front of the property.
I couldn't. I'm sorry, I didn't hear all your question. I think, go ahead, if you repeat it, please.
Yeah, I'm saying I know that the city has a right-of-way. I think it's 10 feet from the road, on the edge of private property already, and that's usually where we have our stormwater drains. I can't imagine that a private citizen could go dig that up, as was suggested.
Yeah, most of our stormwater should be within the right-of-way, and we would have within the right-of-way a prescriptive easement to do the work to improve it, make repairs. The concern, the mayor, I think, is with if it's out of the right-of-way, if we need to make improvements to our current stormwater system that would require the city, Public Works, to go on to private property, then at that point we need to have an easement agreement.
That's where I'm headed, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the conversation about the wording is even germane to the actual item. I think we're appropriating funds, and I think that if we're going to tackle language, we probably need another item on another agenda.
The language is part of this ordinance, O-2025-09, so I think the language is in play. Council, I move to...
I had a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Councilmember Rear, I'm sorry. You did.
Thank you. I guess the biggest thing I have is really around the whole right-of-way thing, because we've had discussions about right-of-way on different issues here. The right-of-way in most areas, I'm imagining, is private property. It is in my yard. It's private property. In other ordinances, the city is allowed to make money off of you if you put a sign up in the right-of-way, but the city can't spend money for something that's in the right-of-way, which is private property. So I'm kind of confused as to what – it's like a blur of the line between private property right-of-way, which are the same thing, but how they're treated in different – because Councilmember Pinker and I actually visited a yard on Poinsettia Drive that I think the damage was done at the – if I'm remembering correctly, at the end at the creek – but the stormwater was coming in from the city's domain. That particular homeowner can't touch it because, like the mayor said, that's if it interrupts flow or anything like that. But then here we are, the city can't touch it either because they can't spend money because that's out of the right of way. That's practically in the guy's side yard. So now you've got a culvert that can't be fixed by law. He can't fix it because it's almost certainly going to alter flow. That's what it's what it needs to do. But then the city's not going to fix it because it's out of the right of way on clear private property. So now you've got a damaged pipe that's older than me that no one's going to repair by law. No one. So I don't understand the whole right of way thing, because it seems like it applies differently in different ordinances as to when the city exercises its domain of the right-of-way and when they don't. I get the concern here, but like I said, I've just given you a scenario where it just can't be fixed by law on both ends. So at some point, maybe we can get the easement from the property owner in a rare case like that to access the entire yard, but according to, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, even with an easement, we still can't spend money on private property. Okay, that's why I didn't want to put words. So in that scenario, it can be done so long as everybody agrees.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Councilmember Roche?
I would like to point out that in Mr. Pinkerton's memo, it does say on or off private, however that was worded. But in the actual ordinance that you would sign if we approve this, that language is not included. So I don't think we necessarily need to amend, because the actual ordinance that will be signed does not include that from his memo.
Item 3 under Section 2, authorized uses, repairs to existing stormwater issues, whether located on or off city right-of-way, as deemed necessary and approved by council. So, Council, I move to direct the city attorney to develop wording to add a mechanism for getting easements when work is proposed to be done on private property.
Second.
I have a motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Roop to amend the ordinance. Discussion on the amendment. Councilmember Pinkerton.
As mentioned, I guess there are properties out there that do have this right-of-way already in place. So what I'm hearing, I really don't have too much of a problem with, but is there a way that we can add that to this now to pass it? Or if we're amending it to add that language, where does it stand if we push this forward? It goes into the next reading?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the mayor was suggesting I come up with language and that be put on the committee of the whole agenda for discussion before it goes to second reading. Is that?
Well, my understanding was is that we would amend this ordinance that's in front of us when it comes back to us at second reading at the next business meeting.
Okay.
Yes. Councilman Rohrer?
Maybe I missed something. I thought we just covered that. That by law we have to get that anyways. So we just by state law, we have to do that. So we just put that in there to put it in there, because I think that's the question I asked. Can we work on private property with an easement? Yes. So I thought we covered that.
Well, it was Mr. Hughes's recommendation that we add wording to just remind us when that time comes that if we're going to do work on private property, we need to get an easement.
That's correct. I mean, I've run into these issues before, and the city does need to be careful, and when Public Works goes to do their job, that they know that they cannot go on private property and do work without having the property owner's permission with an easement. So I think it's a good step for council to take to have some clarifying language within the ordinance.
Okay.
To that effect.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Councilmember Hutchings?
Question. I couldn't hear all that conversation. If we change the language with this amendment, and then it'll go to the second reading with that language, is that what you said?
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Appreciate your concerns, but I guess I just don't want to get this tangled up somewhere where we have certain issues and we have people that have concerns, and we have an opportunity to spend some money to fix issues on private property, and then we can't because of an easement issue. It's just kind of a strange thing. I know that, and we've had this discussion in council, that the streetscape drainage is getting ready, well, at some point in the next couple of years, tie into a city storms or a private storm system that I'll be happy to walk you through their yard to see what that looks like. It's completely destroyed. And now we're going to dump more water into it. So it's just those sort of things that we get tangled up in. Please write up the amendment. We can take a look at it and see. I just don't think that we should lose the opportunity to take advantage and fix some problems that we have, even if it is off the right-of-way or off the city's street right-of-way. Thank you.
Any further discussions on the amendment? Councilman Roche?
My question is for legal counsel. Do we need to address this wording now before we appropriate the funds, or is it something that we could do later?
We're going to do it before second reading, and then before second reading, that's when the funding would be effective.
Okay, thank you.
The amendment. Motion to amend to add wording for the provision for easements. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
Have one no. So that's six yeses and one no. Councilmember O'Rear voting in the negative. So on the main motion, as amended, any further discussion? On item 7D, the motion to approve first reading of ordinance O-2025-09, appropriate funds from the sale of the Old City Hall property to a stormwater initiative fund as amended. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. At this time, we are preparing to go into executive session to discuss employee compensation and contractual arrangements. A motion is in order. Somebody can read that. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, move that council enter executive session to discuss employee compensation and contractual arrangements.
Second. Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Williams. No action. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor in entering into executive session signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0. No action will be taken in our executive session except to A, adjourn, or B, return to public session. Council will not commit this public body to a course of action by a polling of members in executive session. City Council has voted to enter into executive session as allowed under SC Code 30-4-70, paragraphs A1 and A2, for the purpose of discussing compensation of employees and contractual matters. Upon coming out of executive session, Council may reconvene the meeting to take action on matters discussed in executive session, and I do anticipate that we will return to public session. We are now in executive session. All right, Council has returned from executive session, and we have one matter to consider that is before us, and I call on Council now for a motion. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, move that Council approve an authorization to the City Administrator to expend funds to address equitable compensation concerns for certain city employees.
Second. Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Is there any discussion? And I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries 7-0. That concludes our business for this evening. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.